Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I'm very excited. I'm always excited about this program, I'll confess to you, but I'm always excited when we could change it up and throw you a curveball. And I say a curveball, you know, just different subjects that I think you'll find interesting. And we're going to shift our gears back over to, you know, the financial planning world. And then we're going to zero in, kind of like when you're on a Google map and you start, you know, pushing the expanding the screen and getting more and more detail. We're going to zero in or go down and talk about one area of financial planning that is vital. It's vital for people who are getting closer to retirement and people in retirement. It's really something that is often overlooked and is a secondary thought. And it is the subject of, ready, long-term care. And we are very lucky. We have Betty Dahl on the line with us. She is principal of Dahl & Associates. And they are long-term care insurance specialists. And her thing is that this is her focus. She is a specialist in this area. The website for today's program is ltconly.com, LTC, long-term care, ltconly.com. That's a mouthful, but you'll get it. And I'm very happy to have Betty on the line. And she doesn't know this yet, but she and I both went to Jacksonville University. She got her master's in business administration from JU and a bachelor of science degree from Western Michigan University. And she is a nationally known speaker and been quoted by Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger, Journal of Financial Planning, very well regarded within the industry. And we're just very lucky and delighted to have her on the program. Betty, welcome.
Well, thank you, David. And it's good to talk to another JU person.
Yes, I was there in 86, 87, 88, right in that time period. And then I ended up switching to University of North Florida, just across the street, to finish, because I changed my I was pre-med. And then I changed
you did
to
change career.
Yeah, and I changed to accounting and decided to do the accounting program over at University of North Florida. But I am very familiar with the school, and I think that I thought that was kind of interesting how small this world is. And you're in Asheville, North Carolina.
I am. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, it's gorgeous. My parents, also small world, had a cabin in North Carolina in Linville Falls, just down the street from you, a couple hours away, I think, for about 20 years.
Yep, down the street or up the mountain, as we call it.
Grandfather Mountain.
Yes.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thanks for taking some time out of your schedule. I know that you're in high demand because you're a specialist in the long-term care area, and I admire that. I think it's really interesting that that's your focus. Now, you had made a career shift, and you have actually a background more from the medical side. Tell us a little bit about that background. I think that'll help our listeners understand where you're coming from with your discussion of long-term care.
Sure. My background, my undergraduate degree, was in occupational therapy. And as an occupational therapist, who then went back for that MBA at JU, but as an occupational therapist, I was working at the time for a national rehabilitation company, where if your parent or grandparent were in a long-term care facility and getting physical therapy, occupational speech therapy, it was likely the company that I worked for that was the care provider, depending where you were in the country. But we were a large national provider of rehabilitation services. And in 1997, the Balanced Budget Act was passed, which significantly changed what Medicare would pay for rehabilitation in those settings. And the company that I worked for and most of our competitors literally went out of business because the Medicare reimbursement changed so much. So I refer to the Balanced Budget Act as the Betty Has to Find a New Career Act. And that's how I got involved with long-term care insurance.
Okay.
It never would have occurred to me to make a career in this area before, but it was a really good move, and having had the experience in terms of seeing, you know, what people need in long-term care, the types
right.
of care they need, what the costs are for that, and then seeing what pays for that and what doesn't pay for that, it's really been a tremendous background for getting into this field.
Absolutely. And yeah, you've actually seen what is needed, then you can design the long-term care plans to match what you know from experience that can be the need. And so you've been doing the long-term care, I understand, as a focus of what you do for the last 17 years.
Yes.
Wow.
And another way to put that is it's the only kind of insurance I really know very much about.
Okay.
You know, I got into it because of my experience on the clinical side, but just built a very successful business with it and never felt the need or the inclination to expand into, you know, health insurance, disability insurance, all of that. It has served me well to really become a specialist in the one limited area.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate that that perspective. Let's dive in here. What's new and changing in the world of long-term care planning? I know you're steeped in it. So what's happening?
Sure. There's a lot going on. It's kind of a moving target, if you will. But first, I just want to, you know, kind of clarify that I truly believe that everyone needs to have a long-term care plan. I don't think everyone necessarily needs to have long-term care insurance. And I think the difference with that is the plan is knowing what you want to happen, when and if you need care, and then having that discussion with your family, how involved do you want them to be? What I hear most often is people really don't want their kids to be the care providers. So then, you know, what's the alternative, which is hiring caregivers, and then how would that be funded? What would pay to hire caregivers?
Excellent.
And, you know, you work with clients who are very much in a position to self-insure, some of them, I'm guessing. For some people, Medicaid is the best option.
Yep.
And for some, it's long-term care insurance. So the important thing to me is having a plan and communicating that to your family. And often, long-term care insurance is the way to make sure that your plan, you know, is able to come true.
Excellent.
So many, what I hear is people say, I don't want to be a burden to my children. And they say, and I want to stay at home.
Right.
And, you know, how are you going to make both of those things happen?
Well, you better have a plan to do it.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
And it's funny, you and I are very much on the same page because I refer to it as the monkey in the middle. You know, if you don't have hardly any assets, then you're Medicaid. That's what we have the governmental programs for, as a safety net. If you've got a lot of money, you know, we're talking millions, then you don't really need to buy it, although you might find that as a way to shift the risk and just as a financial strategy, but you don't have to have it. You can pay it out of pocket. But for everybody else, you're the monkey in the middle. And you're going to...
Yeah. I often use the analogy of college tuition.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have any money, there seem to be grants and resources available. If you have a lot of money, you bite the bullet and pay for it. You might not like to, but you're able to. But it's another monkey in the middle, to use your analogy.
Yeah, it really is. Well, and to your point about, it's interesting. You're so spot on, Betty, that people say, I don't want to be a burden to my family. And then the same token, they're like, I don't know, though, if I want to buy insurance. And it's, they kind of, and I always push people to make an active decision. You don't have to buy long-term care, but let's at least talk through it. And as you said, how do you fund the plan? And it's funny, anytime they get their kids involved, the kids will say, oh, it's okay. We'll take care of you. We'll help you. And, you know, they're a million miles away, or they have their own obligation. And what it really boils down to sometimes is maybe the kids just don't want you to spend the money and they feel obligated maybe, or a sense of responsibility of payback. And, you know, we'll take care of you like you took care of us.
Or the kids just don't understand what may be involved in that and what
that's
care
probably,
really looks like.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of it.
Yeah. And when people say, you know, my kids will take care of me, kind of one of my responses to that is, may I show you a way to make it easier for them to do that?
There you go.
Because even if you're able to live with one of your children, that's still very different than having that child provide 24-hour care. So if we can talk about resources to, you know, bring in to get some help with the heavier care or the more personal care, it can make it easier for those family members to take care of the other needs.
So good. So you're right on the money, Betty. Let's grab a break. Betty Dahl, ladies and gentlemen, principal of Dahl Associates, long-term care insurance services. The website, very easy. Ready? LTConly.com. Quick break. We'll be right back with Betty.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Betty Dahl on the line with me, long-term care specialist, LTConly.com. And, you know, I want to come right back to it. You know, we talk about, Betty, before the break, about people making the decision, and you have your way of framing that up. And I've also told people, you know, we got to have an active conversation and discuss it. And one of the things, of course, that's at the top of the list for the discussion for people that usually, you know, they wanted to find out right away is, what's it going to cost? And, you know, they're, depending on the kind of plan or the approach and how you fund it versus pay every year or maybe a single payment or however the policy is structured, the cost, the cash flow can be, it can vary widely, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So there can be, I guess, some tailoring there to an individual's personal situation as to whether they have a lot of cash sitting in the bank earning nothing and they want to maybe use that to address long-term care, or they really need to pay as they go along and kind of like a monthly premium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of moving parts to a long-term care policy. I think one of the things that happens a lot is that, you know, people talked with a neighbor and the neighbor said it was very expensive. And everyone has their own definition of what very expensive is to begin with.
Right.
But not everyone needs the same coverage. So I work with a lot of people who are in the position, I'm guessing a lot of your clients are in that position, where they could actually pay for a certain amount of care themselves or for a very short period of care. But, you know, if something turns into an extended care situation, and now they're drawing down assets to pay for that care, it can leave a spouse in a very precarious financial situation. But if they were able to shift at least part of that risk to an insurance company, it just kind of keeps the cash flow, you know, both now and in the future when care is needed, it keeps that cash flow a little healthier. So they may insure for part of the cost of care. Other people really want to insure for a greater portion of that or all of that. Some people are really only looking for coverage that would cover, for example, 3 years of care. Someone else may have seen a parent need care for 10 years because of Alzheimer's and be very concerned about having care that would cover for a long period of time. So there are a lot of moving parts to a policy in terms of how much coverage you have available. And those moving parts, whether you want kind of the loaded policy that would cover everything for a long time or a more limited policy, you know, that is a huge impact on the cost of a policy, along with your age, your health, your gender, your marital status. All of those come into play. So, you know, I could have three people come in and actually end up with exactly the same coverage, but be a different age, different health, different marital status, and pay very different premiums for that same coverage.
Well, and it could also be that it's a matter of, like you say, you talk about that, how much of the coverage do you want or need for your situation. It's almost like car insurance and how much of a deductible you want and what kind
That's
of coverage do you want for your particular car.
And I often use the car analogy also, you know, when people call and say, well, what will it cost? And I said, you don't call the car dealership and say, I want a new car. What will it cost? It's, you know, do you want a Cadillac or do you want the Volkswagen or whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's true. And you mentioned health. One of the other things, of course, is a question is how this is underwritten, how the insurance company determines whether or not, number one, they can give you the policy and what it will cost, because the cost could vary. So can you speak to that a little bit, Betty, in terms of how the underwriting works?
Sure. And, you know, it's insurance that we're talking about. And any type of insurance needs to be in place before the event occurs where you hope, you know, where you would draw benefits from that. So again, just like flood insurance, with everything that we've seen happen recently with the storms that have gone through, you know, once that water is lapping at the door, you cannot get flood insurance. And it's much the same way with a long-term care insurance policy. They are evaluating, you know, what your risk is to them as an insurance company, and, you know, kind of They're looking at it differently than the person who, you know, anticipates purchasing a policy. None of us wants to get it unless we know we're going to need it. And unfortunately, insurance just doesn't work that way. So you have to be reasonably healthy to qualify to get coverage. So if someone is already having memory issues and that's documented, they probably are not going to be able to secure coverage. If someone has mobility issues, they require a cane, a walker, anything like that, likely cannot get long-term care insurance. If there's active cancer, they're not going to be able to get long-term care insurance. So they do need to be in reasonably good health.
Right.
Then there are other factors where one company may be more accepting of someone who has a history of cancer. You know, if it's 2 years ago, one company may accept them where another company may not accept them. So it's important also, if this is something that you are pursuing, is to not just look at one company, but to talk with someone who either represents a number of different companies or talk with, you know, if it's a specific rep for an individual company, to look and find out, ooh, would I be better served by a different insurance company than by this particular one?
Very good.
They all have different requirements.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're not saying that you have to be a marathon runner, ladies and gentlemen, to qualify for long-term care. But, you know, the things you mentioned, the loss of memory or cognitive impairment or the mobility issues, those are, of course, the things that trigger benefits under the policy. And if it looks like you're going to need those benefits right away, then that's obviously what makes you a bad risk for the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, if everyone was betting and knew that they were going to need care, we would all already have the insurance.
Right.
Right.
Well, if you only got it, or if the insurance company would take you even though you needed it, now we're talking really about, now that sounds like a government health program. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, this is good stuff, Betty. Betty Dahl, ladies and gentlemen, principal of Dahl & Associates, long-term care insurance services, what they do. It's LTC only. LTConly.com is a website. Quick break. We'll be right back with Betty for more.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Betty Dahl on the line with us, and she's a long-term care specialist. Very glad to have her with us and helping us unravel and untangle and demystify this long-term care challenge and the role of insurance in that risk to your finances, one of the things that can pop your retirement balloon. And we're talking through this, and I wanted to kind of circle back around if we could, Betty. We touched on it, and I'd like to dig a little deeper, if you don't mind, into some of these different options that are available for covering the expense. And there's been, you know, once upon a time, it used to be we just had the standard, you buy the policy, you pay your premium every year or every month. And, you know, if you needed the coverage, they paid. If you didn't need it, well, you thank God that you didn't need the coverage. Kind of like if you never, your house never burns down, you're glad it never did, even though you paid premiums every year. And then the insurance companies started becoming more, I don't know, clever, or they evolved and they now have a lot of other options that where the long-term care policy is kind of built or attached to, say, a life insurance policy or an annuity. And I'd love to get your take on, you know, what you think about that, how they work, whether you think that's a good idea or not. So do tell us, Betty.
Sure. There are a lot of different options that are out there now. And, you know, the question, you know, is this a good option? The answer is always, it depends. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's needs are different. Everybody's finances are different. But I think the insurance companies came up with some of these newer options for coverage. And like you said, they're attached to a life insurance policy or possibly to an annuity. And what they are is a way to respond to the concern that people have with long-term care insurance. What if I never need it?
Right.
And, you know, I love your statement. It's like, you should be glad you never needed
any
insurance policy.
Right, right.
But the reality is, you know, people are putting money into this. I think it's hard for us to imagine ever needing care, and it just kind of seems like that great unknown that we're protecting ourselves against. So by using the approach of either a life insurance or an annuity policy, you are generally putting a sum of money into that type of policy, either over a number of years or kind of a one-and-done type thing, where you are putting money into that type of policy. If you need care, the life insurance policy, the death proceeds, are then used up paying for care rather than staying there until your death.
Okay.
So
good.
Perhaps there is a death benefit of $150,000 in the policy that you take out, and if you need care, you would first use that $150,000 of your death benefit. So when you died, there would no longer be a death benefit. But if you continue to need care, there may be an additional $150,000 available for continuing long-term care. So people, a lot of people like that because you know that one way or another, you are getting a benefit from that policy. Now, the downside is you only get it either at disability or at death.
Right.
But you know that it's not money, you know, going into that black hole of insurance premiums.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like that. Some of the caveats with that is that, first of all, don't put money into that type of policy that is money that you need to live on or need money, you know, to generate the income that you live on.
Thank you.
So that cannot be a significant portion of your overall investment portfolio put into that.
It needs to be extra money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or dead money that's sitting in the bank earning nothing. And
exactly.
It's,
if that's your emergency fund, one of the emergencies that you're worried about is long-term care, that can be a good way to use that.
Yeah, and I'd still argue for an emergency fund on top of that. You know, maybe not use all. Yeah, don't use all of your emergency fund, but you can use some of it for that. And you know, the other reason I think people are attracted to that, Betty, and I'd like to get your thought on this, and I'm sure you've seen this over the last two decades, is, you know, one of the when long-term care insurance first came out and that traditional policy we talked about earlier where you pay your premium every month or every year, well, when they first came out, you know, I think everybody would agree, or most people would agree, that the insurance companies, quote-unquote, kind of underpriced the product. In other words, they weren't charging enough, and we've seen in recent years, last 5 to 10 years, some pretty significant rate increases on these policies. So, you know, that's the other thing that people are trying to avoid, maybe with paying one time, with that one and done, as you called it, so that they don't have to face up to maybe some large premium increases later that might have them even wonder if they can keep the policy.
I agree. I mean, you know, the advantage of these and other of the advantages is that it is a fixed cost, that cost cannot change and will not change. In response to the question about rate increases, there have been some significant rate increases, primarily on policies that were issued a number of years ago,
mm-hmm.
where they were much more underpriced.
Right.
And between the low interest rate environment that insurance companies are facing today, where their returns are less than what were projected, and they're frankly seeing more people go on claim than what they projected.
Right.
So some of those older policies especially have seen significant increases. Now, with the policies that are being written for folks today, they are priced significantly higher than, you know, if you had bought it 10 years ago. So, you know, what we are hearing from the companies is that they have been much more conservative in all of their pricing estimates, and they don't anticipate, they still don't promise, but they don't anticipate that we will see those same increases in the future on these, on the current policy.
Yeah, they were against the rate increase before they were for it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got, that's very good. Very good. And we've got a couple minutes here left, Betty. And I think one of the other things I'd love for us to be able to get to here is the question that comes up fairly often, especially as it relates to, you know, these different versions of policies, is the tax deduction or tax favorability of the benefits. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. The long-term care insurance premium can be deducted as a health expense. And, you know, not a lot of people today, frankly, are able to deduct those premiums, because what you can take is, depending on your age,
mm-hmm.
a set amount of money that is then added to your other out-of-pocket health insurance, or I'm sorry, health care costs,
right,
whether it's
right.
glasses or hearing aids or whatever, and you can only deduct the amount that exceeds 10% of your income if you are under age 65.
Right, okay.
So there potentially is a deduction. In reality, not a lot of people get that. The difference is if you are a business owner or if you are self-employed, where you are then able to take that deduction without having to meet that 10% threshold.
Well,
and
that's a good point.
Maybe getting a little bit deeper into the woods then.
That's okay.
You know, we can cover right here in this program. But I think especially for business owners, there can be a significant tax advantage to doing this for individuals, possibly, and different states around the country. Each state has its own variation of some type of incentive for folks who have long-term care insurance.
Yeah,
not every state has a deduction or credit, but many of them do. Again, the states benefit by having people plan privately for their care in order to enable them to hopefully avoid a Medicaid situation down the road.
Well, yeah, and on that point, that's why a lot of states, and including Florida, there's this partnership program that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine North Carolina probably has one too.
Yes, most states do.
Yeah, and what that does, I think, if I understand it correctly, you can clarify for me, Betty, is that, you know, how much long-term care benefits you've got, that's how much assets you could potentially shield and not have to spend and still qualify for Medicaid.
That is correct.
It's okay.
Very, very simply speaking, for a single individual, you know, you can only have about $2,000 in assets.
Right.
In order to qualify for Medicaid to pay for your long-term care. However, if you have a long-term care insurance policy that has paid out, for example, $200,000 for your care, you now could actually have $200,000 plus the original $2,000 in your name and be eligible to apply for Medicaid if you met all the other requirements.
I think that's a pretty attractive feature.
It is. It's a safety net that comes at no additional cost to the policy owner.
Excellent. Very good. Well, I know we're just kind of doing a touch and go and just hitting some of these topics generally. I'll refer everybody to your website, Betty, the LTConly.com. You can go there, ladies and gentlemen, get a lot more good information. Betty's a great resource and really, really appreciate her being on the program. Betty, it's been a nice time to get together, and I will certainly look to you myself as a resource if we run into some difficult situations or people that, you know, that need help. I'd love to be able to get back in touch with you and talk with you further.
I hope you will, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Betty Dahl, ladies and gentlemen.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.